He watched me as he leaned against the small bar, and the longer he did it, the faster my heart pumped, pushing nerves through my veins. The thoughts I would have processed over a matter of time all rushed in at once. I wondered how many women he had been with, what he expected of me. I wasn't a virgin, but I wasn't far from one. I'd had sex with one man, and only enough to fill a weekend. I was inexperienced and worried he would chew me up and spit me out. He pulled on his tie while walking into the kitchen. He set his tumbler on the island, then looked at me. "You gonna stand near that door all day?" I swallowed and nodded. With his hands braced on the counter, he gave his head a small shake. My stomach fluttered when he glanced at me, his eyes molten. "Come here." I didn't think it was possible for any woman to ignore that command from him. I had an awful, awful impulse to listen. With an erratic heartbeat, I took the short steps toward him. As soon as I reached him, he grabbed my nape, threaded his fingers into my hair, and then buried his face in my neck. He made a masculine noise of satisfaction that I could feel deep in my stomach. Before it settled into a weight between my legs, I rocked back, not fighting him, but shaken with this lightning bolt exploding in my chest and fizzing through my veins. My breasts pressed against his hard, warm abs, and a shiver rolled through me. He ran his face up and down my neck, as though he was savoring my smell, or maybe languishing in the fact that he'd caught his next meal.
"Fuck. You feel good,"
he groaned against my throat. He wrapped an arm around my waist and lifted me, setting me close to eye level on the island. The counter was cold against my thighs as he stepped between them, forcing them further apart. My heartbeat drummed in my ears, and a cold sensation crept through me. Fear. He pressed his lips to my throat, kissing a slow line down it. Each one sent a sizzle between my legs, and I tilted my head to give him more access, a moan escaping my lips. This man had changed roles from attempting someone I couldn't have to owner, lover, and fiancé. The whiplash had given me no time to act, but on instinct alone. I wanted him, but at the unknown, a cool breath of fear dripped into my subconscious. I grasped the edge of the counter on both sides of me, trying to ground myself to earth somehow, while he worked my neck with slow kisses and scrapes of his teeth. As his presence consumed my own, my reservations dissolved into smoke. His large hands ran down my sides, from underneath my breasts to low on my hips, his thumbs brushing bare skin beneath the band of my shorts. It was a maddening sensation, and I was dying for him to go a little further, up or down, to just freaking pick one. His erection pressed against the inside of my thigh, and if he would only step forward a few inches, it would be right where I wanted it, needed it. I swayed, my eyes heavy-lidded, when a solid grip came to the side of my neck to hold me still while he pressed hot, wet kisses to my throat. My head fell back on a moan, my hair skimming the countertop with the next nip of his teeth. His hips lined up with mine, his hands grasping the top of my ass, and then his hard-on pressed against my clit in a slow roll that stole my breath. A quiet growl fanned against my neck, while an emptiness pulsed between my legs. He only ground against me once, when I needed it, over and over, before he pulled back. His hands left me and grasped the counter beside my own. I'd yet to even touch him while stuck in this dreamlike state. His gaze was more black than amber.
"Take off your shirt."
Each bossy, gravelly word was a slow hum in the empty ache between my legs. The cold sense of fear snuck its way back in, cutting through the haze. A part of me needed to comply, to do everything this man asked of me, to give him anything he wanted, but I couldn't. Not yet. With a shaky breath, I shook my head. His gaze narrowed at the edges. Promise not to kill the father of Adriana's baby, and I will. His expression hardened even more.
I don't like ultimatums.
It's not an ultimatum. It's an incentive. He shook his head and started to pull away from me, but I grabbed him by the belt loop. Please. My voice was throaty, sounding different to my ears. It was coated in thick, deep lust, and he paused, his attention all mine. For a wedding present. He glanced down at my finger hooked through his belt loop, his jaw ticking with thought. After a moment, he said,
You'll take it all off. Whenever I ask you to.
Elation sipped through me, and he must have noticed because his voice took an edge.
And I'm still beating the shit out of him.
I nodded with hesitation. Not an ideal situation for Ryan, but I knew this was much better than death, and I wasn't going to push my luck. What about my papa?
I'll talk to him.
How do I know you weren't lying?
Guess you'll have to trust me.
Maybe it was stupid, but I did trust him, on this matter anyway. My finger slipped from his belt loop, and a huge weight released from my shoulders. Maybe I was taking my sister's situation personally, or maybe I thought righting this wrong would erase mine. It wouldn't. But at least Adriana didn't have to live with the heartbreak and regret. Nico grabbed his drink and leaned against the opposite counter, taking a sip of whiskey like he was settling in at a strip club, though his expression appeared as if he were standing in line at a grocery store checkout. Now, fear rushed like an icy river beneath the surface of my skin. My breath came out in shallow pants as I reached for the hem of my t-shirt. With an erratic beat of my heart, my shirt hit the floor. The quiet noise of fabric on hardwood sounded loud and suggestive as the still kitchen air met my bare midsection. My breasts pressed against the fabric of my bra, tingling in expectation. Before I had a chance to think it through, I unclipped the back of my bra and dropped it to the floor. A blush spread from my cheeks to my chest as his burning gaze caressed my bare breasts. The silence filled with the drum of my heartbeat. His posture remained indifferent, but his eyes singed like paper around the edges. He ran his tongue across his teeth and flicked his gaze from me before taking a sip of whiskey. I didn't know why, but I had the feeling he was trying to shake his attraction off. He didn't want to want me. I didn't know how I was supposed to take that, but for some reason, a rush of confidence spread through me. I had never undressed for a man before. The only one I'd been with had done it himself. But I should have known Nicolas Rousseau would demand I do it for him. I wanted to do it for him, whenever he wanted. Grabbing the waistband of my shorts, I pushed them down my thighs, letting them drop to the floor. I sat there in only a hot pink thong, while he stood across from me, in a button-up and tie. His attention was now all mine, and the thrill of it stole my breath. Slowly, without taking his gaze off mine, he set his glass on the counter and walked the short steps to me. I haven't finished, I breathed. But he didn't hear or didn't care. I shivered when he gripped my neck, sliding his hand upward into my hair. His hold on my nape pulled my face to his. So close, his breath touched my lips, warm with a hint of whiskey. Nerves vibrated deep down because he was going to kiss me. But when he leaned in to brush his lips against mine, I turned my head. He went still, his body tensing. I avoided his gaze. You can have anything you want, Nicolas, anything. But that. There was only one way to protect myself in this situation. I couldn't lose myself in this man when I could already feel the pull of how easy it would be. I needed to maintain my autonomy, my distance. My heart didn't need any more incentive to fall into his clutches. I knew I couldn't keep sex from him, knew I wasn't that strong. But I didn't have to make love to him. I couldn't make love to him and then watch him do it with someone else. And I already knew he had no desire to remain faithful, from what he'd told me in the alley that night. I couldn't share myself with someone so carelessly, so indifferently, especially now, after my past mistake. So I could only give him a part of me, the only one he would want, and hope I would survive. I didn't expect him to argue or to even care about my refusal. Kissing was romantic in a way, and I couldn't see him wanting to share that with me. My hand still gripped the counter on either side of me, and when he glanced at my left, the one with the ring, his gaze turned black with contempt. I could taste his sudden animosity on my tongue. Anger wasn't a reaction I'd expected from him, but I guessed telling this man he couldn't have something was only a way to make him want it more. Spread your legs. His command was cold, rough, and rattled the existing fear. With an unsteady inhale, I complied. His palms ran up my legs as I did so, his thumbs pressing into my inner thighs with a harshness that made my stomach tighten in an unexpected way. His rough hands felt so absolute against my soft skin. Legs spread, cool air brushed my panties, and I was suddenly aware of how wet they were. His gaze touched me there, warm and thrilling, yet still tinged with anger. He yanked me closer by the back of the neck until my bare breasts pressed against his chest. My breathing was erratic as he growled in my ear, "You're so goddamn hot, it pisses me off." And then he nipped my neck, hard. I yelped at the short pain, but it turned into a moan when his thumb pressed down on my clit through the fabric of my thong. His grip tightened in my hair, forcing my head back, and then he sucked a nipple into his mouth. A spark ignited in my lower stomach, the flame spreading through my body like wildfire. He brushed his thumb over my clit up and down, while holding a fistful of my hair so I couldn't even look down. He groaned from deep in his chest and switched breasts, licking and then sucking with a slight scrape of teeth. An embarrassing sound escaped me, but I was so hot everywhere, I didn't care. I leaned back on my hands, my hips starting to rock under his touch. His mouth was so hot as he licked and played with my full breasts until I thought I would die from it. When his hands left me, protest screamed in my veins. With a dark gaze that wasn't entirely angry anymore, he fisted my thong at my hip and pulled it down my thighs, dropping it to the floor with the rest of my clothes. I spread my legs once more past the point of rational thought. His gaze fell between my thighs. He gave his head a shake, running a hand down his tie. "Fuck." That's all he said before his arms wrapped around the backs of my thighs. He jerked me to the edge of the counter, and then his head lowered between them. I shuddered under the first hot, wet touch of his tongue. A deep rush of pleasure flooded me, a stronger wave rolling through me at every soft, slow lap he took from the entrance to my clit. This dangerous man was being surprisingly gentle, reverent in what he was doing. Something touched me in the chest. However, he wasn't that docile. His arms held me so securely, I couldn't move my hips an inch while he took his time licking me, like he was doing it for himself and not me. "Oh, God," I moaned, digging my hands into his thick hair, running my blunt nails against his scalp. I'd said this man's name a handful of times since I'd met him, but I found it slipping from my lips when he swirled his tongue over my clit before sucking. He tensed, and I realized too late he didn't like it when I called him Nicholas. "What's my name?" he rasped before his tongue pushed into my entrance. I made a throaty, porny noise I never knew I was capable of.
When I didn't answer, his mouth left me, and his smoldering gaze found mine. His words were sharp.
What's my name?
Nicolas, I breathed. His eyes flashed, and then a feeling of fullness came over me when he slipped one finger inside me, pleasure ignited, the wick burning through my bloodstream. He held his finger still, and I tried to rock. But his grip around one thigh was immovable.
Name,
he pressed. I shook my head, hating this game. I had Nicolas on the tip of my tongue, but when he pulled out his finger and then plunged two inside me hard, I choked on it, and it unwillingly came out as Nico. A tremor went through me when his mouth found my clit, licking and sucking while his fingers moved in and out of me again and again. He did it so leisurely, making deep noises of satisfaction every once in a while. He was taking his time, slowing down when the pressure built, driving me mad until, please, escaped my lips. Then his fingers curled inside of me, the flame growing hotter. When he slowed again, I shook my head in panic, my hands tugging at his hair. I didn't know what I turned into, but all I found myself repeating was, please, over and over. He finally gave me what I wanted. His firm lap steady, he fingered me faster, harder, until there was nothing but deep, hot pressure. His dark gaze found mine. My last thought before the final please left my lips and the pressure exploded through my veins like an inferno was, he loves to be begged. The fire dissipated into a languid heat, spreading tingles throughout. As I lay against the counter, slack, I pulsed around his fingers, and he only made out with my inner thigh and continued to slowly move them in and out until it stopped. I let out a shaky breath, running my fingers through his hair, not ready to let it go. It was the only part of him I got to touch. That was the first orgasm I'd ever had with a man, and I hated to admit it for my future health. But it was the most addictive thing I'd ever experienced. When his hands ran up my thighs, nerves came to the surface. Did he want me to reciprocate? Or did he expect sex? A shyness overcame me as I sat up, and I was sure, as he braced his hands on the counter and met my gaze, that he could see it all. He'd yet to even shed his tie while I sat naked in front of him. After the heat settled, it all appeared so much more obscene.
You'll call me Nico from now on. No more of that Nicolas bullshit.
I nodded hesitantly. All my pleases still echoed in the kitchen, his words cutting through them with an abrasive knife. I didn't know what I expected then, but I knew it wasn't for him to turn his back on me, leave the house, and then shut the door behind him. I exhaled, falling against the countertop.
Merda.
I was in over my head. Chapter 28. I am as bad as the worst, but thank God I am as good as the best. Walt Whitman. Elena. The ticking of the clock brought my gaze to it as I slipped off the island. I'd been engaged to Nico for only 1 hour, yet I already felt turned inside out, as if he'd stolen a few of my layers and I'd never get them back. I knew I made the right decision not to give him every piece of me. If I did, the inevitable would happen, and I'd be nothing but dust beneath his feet while he ruled New York's underworld. I traced the rim of his whiskey glass, the air conditioning cool against my bare skin. I leaned on the counter and sipped the liquor, hoping it would numb the abrasive feeling of his scruff against my neck, hoping it would make his clean male scent disappear from my nose. It didn't. When the sound of the garage door opening met my ears, I glanced toward the noise. I wondered if he would leave me here alone. But when I didn't hear any engines starting, I imagined he was only working on his cars. I tossed back the rest of the warm whiskey and set the glass on the counter,
But before I could walk away, my eyes caught on some paperwork. Hesitation flooded me, but I took a step forward and grabbed the top paper between two fingers. I stared at my fiancé's private bank account information, my heart beating with confliction, vacillation at the wrongness of my intentions. Yet I felt the hope of absolution, no matter how small it might be. This life I was born into might be dark, but it was transparent. The Cosa Nostra was only a candid version of the outside's politician smiles. I knew this world, knew its darkness, knew its light. And I knew that I was good, but sometimes, even the good has its shadows. Before I could think more about it, I pulled open cupboard drawer after drawer, searching for a pen and paper. When I found them, I copied the information down and slipped it into the bottom of my duffel bag. You can only sink or swim. You can't swim in the underworld. But I'd always heard drowning was the best way to go. After dressing, I took a tour of the home. I found three bedrooms upstairs and dropped my bag on the queen-size bed of one that had to be a spare. Cream walls, white duvet, and furniture. It was understated elegance, and I knew Nico hadn't been the one to decorate it. A bay window with a seat below took up the far wall and looked over the backyard and garage. My fingers touched the glass as my gaze found Nico, whose head was beneath the hood of one of his cars in the drive. Only his side profile was visible, but my heart thumped to an uneven beat. He wore a white t-shirt, his button-up and tie lying in a pile on one of the lawn chairs. I wondered who did his laundry. He said he had a cook, but it was close to lunchtime and no one had arrived yet. I really didn't know how to cook. It was a travesty for an Italian woman, I knew, but I partly blamed it on my mama for never teaching me. She was a perfectionist in the kitchen and would slap our hands if we took one misstep, so it had always been easier to stay out of her way. Heading out of my new bedroom, I stopped in front of the master. With gray walls and mahogany furniture, it had a masculine touch. The large bed was unmade, and dress shirts and ties lay over the back of a chair, some fallen to the floor. It looked like a messy king lived in here. I had an impulse to clean it, but I quelled it and moved on. I didn't know how he would feel about me going through his things, and I didn't want to. I might have to live with him, but this was an arrangement, not a real marriage. However, when I thought of my other options, I couldn't help but feel relief from Oscar Perez's death. I could guarantee that if I were sent to his home for the day, I wouldn't have been lying languid on his counter from an orgasm I didn't have to reciprocate. My skin crawled at the thought of him touching me. I would kiss whoever killed him. When I opened the fridge, I was relieved to see some pre-made meals I only had to pop in the oven. There were handwritten notes on the top of each, saying what they were in a feminine scrawl. So he did have a cook. I was going to feel like less of a woman if I had to have some other woman make my meals now that I was getting married. I guessed I would have to put learning how to cook on my to-do list, though it wasn't as if that was exactly full. I put a casserole in the oven and then searched the house for a phone. As I stood at the island and pulled my hair into a ponytail, my brows knitting from the unsuccessful search, the back door opened. My pulse slowed. Nico stepped inside, his gaze running from the floor to me. God, that plain white t-shirt would be the death of me. Grease stained his arms and hands, and he was sweaty to a hot degree. I finished tying my hair up and then dropped my clammy hands to my sides. He eyed me as he passed a couple feet away, like it was a natural thing for me to be in his home, but he wasn't sure whether he liked it. I had the distinct feeling he didn't, and suddenly felt unwanted and out of place. It seemed as though his presence occupied the whole kitchen and there was no room for me. I stood there, watching his back as he grabbed a glass from the cupboard
and filled it from the faucet. His dark hair was mussed, brushing his collar, and I grew warm, remembering I'd had my hands in it. Not an hour ago.
I thought we talked about that staring thing.
His voice was deep, slithering down my spine with a rough caress. He emptied his glass in one drink without turning around.
We didn't talk about anything.
My response was quiet. You talked, and just assumed I was listening.
You were listening,
was all he said, bracing his hands on the edge of the sink. A heaviness filled the air and my lungs, uncertain, suggestive. Each silent second was the tick of a bomb soon to detonate. This weight in my chest, this thrill beneath my skin that thrummed when he was near, wouldn't be good for me. He didn't even want me here. All my reservations about this engagement came to the surface. I shifted. Can we talk?
About what?
There was a tightness to his shoulders I couldn't miss. About us?
Is that a question or do you have something to say?
I have something to say. He finally turned around, crossed his arms, and leaned against the counter.
Go ahead then.
I swallowed. I'm sure my papa would forget the marriage contract if you asked him to. His eyes sparked with dark amusement.
I'm sure he would.
I paused, not expecting his response. I'd believed my papa had been the one to pressure Nico into this marriage, that his anger was for another reason entirely. I just hadn't known how to start the conversation any other way.
So? Have him do it. Now why would I do that?
He drawled, though his voice was edged with something not nice. My brows pulled together. Why wouldn't you? His gaze turned to ice.
Good question.
I knew I'd walked myself into that and sort of deserved it, but I still bristled from his insinuation. If this was how all of our conversations were going to go, I would go insane before we even got married. I hesitated, not understanding any of this. We won't do well together, was what came out when I wanted to say, you're the only man I've met who could do me permanent damage.
You seemed agreeable enough to me earlier.
His expression had kitchen island and naked written all over it. I couldn't stop the heat from rushing to my cheeks at his crass reminder, but also because I was quickly losing control of this conversation and growing more flustered by the minute. That's different, and you know it. If that's what this is about, you don't have to marry me for it.
It made me sound easy, especially with what he knew of my past, but I didn't care.
We made a deal, I said quietly, remembering my promise to take my clothes off whenever he asked. And I'll uphold it. The air filled with a bitter current that made me regret my words. He let out a tense breath before running his tongue across his teeth.
And why is it you're so against marriage?
I'm not against marriage. I didn't mean it to be so cutting an insult, but he read the insinuation that it was marriage to him I was against. I swallowed as his expression turned even stormier, a muscle moving in his jaw.
So what happens when your papa marries you off? Will you still fuck me when I tell you to?
I chewed my bottom lip. If I said no, he wouldn't protect Ryan anymore, and I couldn't risk it. We made a deal. As darkness pooled like liquid lead in his eyes, I realized how that sounded. Like I wouldn't honor my vows. And as I was currently engaged to this man, it sounded really bad. The stressed silence made it hard to breathe. When he took a sudden step toward me, my heart jerked. I took one back and bumped into the island. He stopped. Bitter amusement crossed his face with a tiny shake of his head.
Jesus.
It wasn't like I feared him overly much, but my mind was spinning, my body reacting on instinct. And when a man like that stalks towards you, it's only natural to retreat. I held my breath as he took the remaining steps, until he was only an inch away. He smelled like man, clean sweat, and whiskey. The scent sank its way into my skin, embedding itself deep. He braced his palms on the counter on either side of me, stepping closer until his presence touched me everywhere. He leaned in, his lips brushing my ear.
"Why are you afraid of me?"
"I'm not." I jumped when his hand came down on the counter beside me, the loud slap filling the kitchen. My heart pounded, and I was sure he could hear it.
"You're not, huh?"
he asked, with a sardonic tone that should have frustrated me. But his closeness, this exchange, had my blood flowing. In a strange way, heat pooled between my legs. He gripped the side of my neck, tilting my head until I looked him in the eyes. His voice was deep, soft, yet laced with frustration that he even had to say it.
"I'm not gonna hurt you."
He said that now. But I'd heard stories of how a don dealt with a thief.
"That much I can promise you, Elena."
The words found their way into my chest, seeping into the cracks and filling it with warmth. This man's voice turned my resolve to ash. However, I then read between the lines, and what he meant was, "That's all I can promise you." I didn't know why it mattered. It wasn't like I had anything to offer him but betrayal.
"But this marriage is going to happen."
Why? I couldn't help but think I'd been his second choice. He'd chosen Adriana over me, had he not? Why did he want me now? Was I merely a convenience?
"I need a wife. You need a husband. And I think we both know you don't want your papa in charge of choosing for you."
A convenience, then. He was right. I never did have much faith in papa in that department. I believed he really had encouraged Oscar's suit, and it didn't take a psychologist to understand that man's character. I was ready to be out from under my father's thumb, though I was unsure if being under this man's would be worse. If Nico could treat this marriage like an agreement, then surely so could I. I hesitated, his closeness pushing my reservations deeper into my subconscious with each second. I had no idea if I was making a mistake. But as much as I like to believe I had a choice in this marriage, I did not. He was merely humoring me by pretending to care about my opinion. "Okay." The quiet acquiescence filled the small space between us.
"Okay," he repeated,
running his thumb across my chin and, at the hint of amusement passing through his eyes, I knew he left some grease there. My stomach fluttered, but then dipped at the dark tone of his next words.
"I said I'll never hurt you, Elena. But if I find out you've touched another man, there is nothing in this world that could save him."
Chapter 29. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. Seneca. Elena.
Oh, cara mia! È così bello ascoltare la tua voce!
It's good to hear your voice too, mamma, I responded dryly, even though I'd only been gone for a few hours. The tiniest bit of amusement rose in me. Before Nico took the stairs two at a time, like he hadn't threatened to kill any man who touched me, he'd handed over his cell phone when I said I needed to call home. I didn't want his hand grenade of a phone, but apparently it was the only one in the house. Mamma went on a tangent of, "How could your papa agree to this?" and, "All my wedding plans ruined," for a solid 5 minutes.
"You're living with him, not married. It's osceno."
It wasn't my choice, I mumbled.
"We're only pushing the wedding back a week. I'm not letting that Russo get the cow for free."
I closed my eyes. "Mama, that's not how the saying goes."
"Who cares how it goes? He shoots my son, decides to marry one daughter, then steals the other. Non ci posso credere. How am I going to plan another wedding in time? And this arrangement? Dishonora la familia, Lue.
You don't have to plan it. Email me the list of what needs to be done and I'll do it. She was crying now, through unintelligible Italian.
Mia figlia, sposata.
A switch flipped.
Fine. We'll go to the dress shop tomorrow.
I sucked in a shallow breath. I was getting married. It felt so strange to my ears. We went over a few wedding details, and then I asked about a couple of easy recipes I could experiment with. I wrote down the recipes on a notepad as I stood at the island, doodling when she went off topic, which was often, and mostly about her unwed and pregnant daughter. I wanted to talk to Adriana and quell her worry about Ryan, but I wouldn't until I knew for sure that Nico wasn't lying to me. I wouldn't raise her hope just to crush it. I glanced toward the back door when it opened, and hesitation ran through me as I met a cold gaze. Luca halted, one hand on the handle, and then he stared at me for what felt like a minute. He shook his head, a small smile pulling on his lips as he took his cell phone out of his pocket and began texting while walking to the couch. I swallowed, somehow feeling like I was the subject of that text, and then responded in the negative to my mamma's, "What am I, talking to a wall?" As Luca sat on the couch and turned the TV on to a ball game, I finished writing down the recipes. It wasn't until I said goodbye and hung up that I realized mamma believed veal milanese was an appropriate meal for a beginner. I sighed and then thought with some kind of masochistic inclination that I could invite Jenny over to help. Ugh. Nico came down the stairs, hair wet in a white dress shirt, gray tie, and pants. He paused, his eyes narrowing as he saw Luca lounging on the couch with one arm resting on the back, before continuing his descent. The timer on the stove went off, and I pulled the baked rigatoni out of the oven. My mouth watered as garlic and basil filled the kitchen. It took a lot to ruin my appetite, apparently more than marrying a murderous don. As I filled my plate, Nico's presence brushed my side. I glanced at him and smiled, as I could only imagine woman had in the 50s. Hungry? A hint of amusement pulled on his lips. Nah, I have a lunch meeting. His gaze fell toward his cell sitting on the island. You don't have a phone? I shook my head. I didn't want to explain that it was taken from me 6 months ago, but Nico must have read it on my face. Something obscure sparked in his eyes. I wondered if he would ever question me about it, about him, but he only said, "We'll get you one tomorrow." Truthfully, I hadn't missed my phone. My friends were limited to my family. Outsiders could never truly understand me. I was a mold the Cosa Nostra had created, a triangle trying to fit in the square of society. "Help yourself to anything in the kitchen," he said, before adding in an amused drawl. "Though I can see you've already done that." "When does your cook come? I would like to meet her." Maybe she would be kind enough to give me some pointers, though that might not be such a great idea, because as soon as I learned, I would want to find her other employment. The idea of having my own home to run was an unexpected thrill, no matter if I had to share it with Nico. "Isabel comes Mondays and Thursdays. She cleans too." She'd been here yesterday, yet his room was such a mess. Maybe he was weird about his things. I shook it off. "Do you have a computer I could use? I need to help Mama with some of the wedding details." "There's a laptop in my office. You can use that." And he pulled out his wallet and tossed a black credit card on the counter. "For all that money you spend." I didn't like the personal nature of spending this man's money, especially with the idea of his bank information already in my duffel bag upstairs. "I don't need it. I have my papa's," I replied, pulling my bottom lip in between my teeth. "You'll use mine from now on." His tone was non-negotiable as he put his watch on. "Translation, I own you now, not your papa." I nodded, but then stilled when the pad of his thumb pulled down on my bottom lip until it escaped my teeth.
Don't tempt me, he said, with a harshness that touched my skin. It wasn't lost on me that he spoke of the kissing variety of temptation. My breath caught somewhere in my chest. How much I wanted to run my tongue across his thumb, to pull it into my mouth. It was an itch I could hardly stop. And I knew he saw the desire on my face. His eyes burned like coal, and his thumb brushed across my lips, daring me to do it. A shiver rocked through me. I wasn't that brave, and we both knew it. He took a step back and slipped his hands into his pockets, leaving a warm imprint on my lips. He glanced at his cousin, who sat with his elbows on his knees watching the game.
Luca will stay here with you.
In my office. Luca's broad shoulders tensed under his white dress shirt. Ace, if you need to reach me, you can use his phone until we get you one tomorrow, he told me, grabbing his keys from the counter. Luca stood to his incredible height. That had to be 6.5 feet.
I'm not a babysitter, boss.
I stared forward, saying a silent prayer that Nico wouldn't leave this man with me.
You are, until I can find a gay cousin,
Nico returned dryly. I closed my eyes. It was safe to say that wouldn't happen, considering the Cosa Nostra was a worse advocate for the LGBT community than they were for the women's movement. It was a work in progress. Luca's jaw ticked. Nico opened the back door, but then paused.
Elena?
Yeah?
Burn that shirt.
He then left, without another word. I glanced down at my pink Yankees t-shirt. I guessed Nico was a Red Sox fan. We really wouldn't work out now. Luca eyed me like he wanted to wrap his big hands around my throat and squeeze. Nerves played beneath my skin.
There's no TV in his office, he said eventually.
I blinked, realizing he was asking me in the most arrogant way I'd ever encountered if he could watch TV out here, even though Nico had told him to go in his office. I really didn't want to spend my day around this man. He was that unnerving. But if he was going to be here for a while, I didn't want him to have to hole up in Nico's office. It would make me feel guilty all day. Well, I guess what he doesn't know won't hurt him. Instead of thanking me, he nodded toward the food on the counter.
What's that?
I sighed, grabbed my plate, and slid it across the island in his direction.
Nico. I sat back in my chair and cracked my knuckles. It wasn't until then that I recognized the restlessness that ghosted under my skin. I didn't know how I was going to get through the workday with Elena in my home, willing to take off her clothes whenever I asked her to. The idea was a constant in the corner of my mind, and it was the exact reason I didn't want to marry her. I sat in front of 5 men who would kill me if they could, in the conference room of my club, and I couldn't think about anything but how she had looked naked in my kitchen, how smooth her skin was, how she'd tasted. She tasted better than hustling. I hadn't planned to do it. I was going to get something else out of Salvatore for fucking me over, but when he'd said Oscar Perez, the irrational burn concerning Elena had seared through my veins. So I found out where he resided, and then I shot him in the goddamn head. I'd tried to pacify myself with that, but Salvatore would just pawn her off to someone else. And I knew, for God only knows what reason, I couldn't fucking handle it. Here's an idea. I cut Raphael off, my voice remaining impassive. Why don't you get the fuck out? A tense air crept through the room on hands and knees. I couldn't listen to his stupid proposition for one more second. The Mexican drug lord's tanned complexion turned red and blotchy. It was only business advice. From one man to another, he seethed, standing. If I wanted business advice from a man poorer than me, I would have asked for it. Raphael slammed the conference room door before the 3 of his men could make it out behind him. Are we done here? I asked the table. With tight countenances and some shifting gazes, the men all got to their feet and headed out of the room. Well, my Uncle Jimmy said from the seat beside me. Someone needs to get laid, and it ain't me. An understatement if I ever heard one. It had been close to 2 weeks now, and the urge was beginning to burn, to bubble over until it became an absolute necessity. Even I knew I became a jackass when I abstained from sex. I couldn't even remember the last time I'd gone this long. There was no particular reason for the lapse, except for the annoying notion that I'd acquired a sudden hard-on for long black hair, and lately, I'd only come across one who had it. Not good business, going and pissing off our suppliers, Jimmy said, lighting a cigar and leaning back in his chair. It was a stupid venture and you know it. Bad deal what you did to that Perez, Ace. He shook his head. So the man was a little more prominent than I'd first presumed. There would be people who'd miss him. The only thing I regret is that I didn't make it last longer. I glanced down the table to see three pairs of eyes on me. Lorenzo rocked in his chair, looking at me like I'd kicked a puppy, while Ricardo and Dino, a capo of mine, sat beside him, their keen attention on me as well. At that moment, Gianna breezed into the conference room. My eyes narrowed, taking in her tight black dress that all club waitresses were mandated to wear, but she violated the dress code with her choker necklace and high pigtails. She stopped by Lorenzo's side, holding out her palm. Without looking at her, he reached into his jacket and pulled out a wad of bills, setting it in her hand. She licked her finger and then began counting it like Lorenzo would short her. He was a Russo. He would. And what was this bet? A dark edge crept into my voice. Lorenzo scratched the back of his neck. Whether or not you'd marry Elena instead of her sister, boss. My jaw tightened. Gianna pursed her lips and held out her hand again. Lorenzo sighed, reached back into his jacket, and dropped the rest of the bills in her palm. Thanks, Lo. She spun on her heel to leave. Wait a minute, I said. She stopped in front of the door, her shoulders tensing. You're not working here. She turned around, glaring at me. Why not? Because you're a train wreck, that's why. Once you can pass a drug test, then I'll think about it. Return your uniform before you leave. I should have known not to give her a choice of who to marry after my papa passed. The capo was too old for the business, let alone to control Gianna, which was undeniably the reason she'd chosen him. Her smoky eyes went steely around the edges. Fine. And then, in classic Gianna fashion, she grabbed the hem of her dress and pulled it off in one defiant swoop. I gave my head a small shake, annoyance running through me. Lorenzo rolled back so he could get a better look at her in only a black bra, thong, and heels. Ricardo whistled, and Jimmy chuckled before coughing on some smoke. Gianna was hot, and she knew it. Even her tasteless style seemed to draw men in more than turn them away. But she'd been little more than a pain in my ass since my papa had died, and it looked like she was angry enough she was going to hurl her dress at my face. Try me, I warned. A frustrated noise escaped her. She chose the safest option and threw it on the floor, before turning on her heel and marching out of the room. Lorenzo let out a low whistle at the sight as she left. With regret, her bare ass was making me think of another bare ass, and a rush of heat ran to my groin. Fork it over, Ricky, Jimmy said, puffing on his cigar. Ricardo tossed some cash across the table, before giving me a nod and leaving the room. You too, huh? I asked. The moment with Elena on my kitchen counter was starting to replay on a loop in my mind. Her little sounds, her smell. Fuck, I needed to get laid. Jimmy collected his money. Who do you think made the bet? It's been going since your engagement party. I wasn't even surprised I'd been that transparent. I was another man pining after her. Fuck me. But she was mine now, whether I liked it or not. And I didn't. She was fucking distracting. She had a body I wanted to bury myself in and never leave, and it was why I was forcing myself not to go home tonight. I had to have some control where that woman was concerned. had already told myself I wouldn't touch her until the wedding, just to prove to myself I could. But then she was in my space, and fuck, I couldn't do it. She'd barely stepped in my door before I had her naked on the kitchen counter. The funny part of it, though arguably not funny at all, was that she didn't want anything to do with me. I was hung up on this girl badly, and she was in love with some other man. Something green burned through my veins like a lit wick, and I ran my hand across my jaw. They'd killed the man she was with when she ran away, but they weren't found in a compromising position, and neither did the apartment belong to him. It was possible they killed the wrong man, and her lover was still alive. At least, that's what I heard through the grapevine. And regardless of how much I ached to, I wasn't digging further. I'd always considered my morals to be slightly lower than mediocre, but it was at this moment I knew I was far, far below redemption. Because innocent or not, if that man wasn't dead and he crossed my path, his lifeless body would be unrecognizable.
Chapter 30. If I get married, I want to be very married. Audrey Hepburn. Elena. The touch was innocent. His hands were braced beside mine on the countertop, grazing my own. Yet the warmth that flooded me felt like the letting of sunlight into a dusty, dark room. What's this? His drawl ran down my spine as he stood behind me, his body trapping mine against the island. It wouldn't interest you. I bit my lip. This morning, I'd awoken to the sound of rain on glass, the drip, drip, drip seeping into my subconscious. I'd lain in an unfamiliar bed, though slept better than I had in a while. It was 8 a.m. when my fiancé decided to come home. I didn't know where he was last night, who he might have been with, but I decided it didn't matter. This was the start of my new life with him, and I'd known it would be this way. I'd spent yesterday going over the list Mama had emailed me while Luca watched TV and pretended I wasn't here. I'd assumed he'd slept on the couch because I hadn't once heard the unmistakable creak of the old wooden stairs. He was in Nico's office now, watching sports news on the computer. I'd wondered why he couldn't do that yesterday, but came to the assumption the couch was probably much more comfortable than the desk chair.
I'll let you know what interests me.
Wedding stuff, I said. You know, the details that will tie us together for the rest of our lives.
Sounds like you're trying to scare me off.
Is it working?
Nah, I'll take my chances.
The amusement in his voice did strange things to my nervous system. How could he be so nonchalant and insistent about marrying me? And why did that hold a certain charm to it? His fingers brushed mine as he pulled the printout of my mama's email closer. He had nice hands, I noticed. Big, masculine, with clean, blunt nails. I wished I could find something I didn't like about this man, but it seemed it would have to be with his personality and not with his appearance. His body grew closer to pressing against my back with each second as he read my mama's list like I wasn't trapped in front of him. How do you feel about pink? I breathed. One of his hands slid to my waist, searing my skin through the pink scalloped dress I wore.
Never thought about it before, he drawled. But I think I like it.
Warmth ran to my cheeks. Good, I supplied. Because you'll be wearing a pink tie. He let out a breath of amusement.
I don't mind, but it will probably annoy Luca. Did he bother you yesterday?
No, he was a perfect gentleman. Didn't push me into a pool or anything.
He stayed in my office.
I hesitated because I was a terrible liar. Of course. His hand slid from my waist to my hip, his fingers gripping my flesh with a firmness that set my pulse aflutter. Pressing his lips to my ear, he whispered,
I don't believe you.
I inhaled. You expected him to stay in your office all day and night?
Yes,
he said, like he wasn't asking for much.
Tell me what you did.
We played Monopoly and shared an ice cream cone. I could feel his smile on the back of my neck. "Little liar," he drawled. "You don't have a coffee maker," was all I could think to say. "I don't drink coffee."
"You're not human,"
I breathed. His palm ran from my hip to my lower stomach. Heat curled inside me with the smallest amount of pressure from his hand. Each finger burned through the fabric while his lips brushed the nape of my neck. My insides were melting, dissolving into nothing but memory as he softly bit down and then licked the skin. I gripped the edge of the countertop, a moan crawling up my throat.
"Why are you dressed to go out?"
I sucked in a shaky breath. "I'm going to the dress shop with Mama at 10.
"Are you now?"
He ran his face across my bare shoulder, his scruff teasing my skin.
"Who's taking you?"
"Benito's picking me up." It went silent for a moment, and I suddenly wondered if he would tell me no. Would he be strict? Irrational? All the horrid possibilities came to mind as I finally realized I was putting my future in this man's hands. I hardly even knew him. I wanted to know him, just so I could understand how he would react. At least that's what I told myself. I wanted to know what he did last night, what his middle name was, who he had loved, or who he did. I wanted to know everything, and that made my chest ache with the inevitable break.
"You'll take a burner phone until I can get you a new one."
I exhaled. In relief? I wasn't sure. It was hardly enough to understand his character, but it was something. "Nico, it's not necessary to have Luca stay here with me. I don't need a babysitter." A strained quiet crept between us before he stepped away.
"Your past says differently."
I tensed, somehow not believing he'd said that. I got my first glimpse of Nico that morning. He walked into the living room, pulling off his tie, and I couldn't help but notice he wore the same clothes he had on last night. Swallowing the bitter taste in my mouth, I said, "I'm not going to run away." I did that once, and it wasn't liberating. It was the biggest mistake I'd ever made. His gaze was a lit match in a pitch black room.
"There's nowhere you could go that I couldn't find you."
A cold shiver rolled down my spine at the indifferent tone of his voice, because I believed him. Though an edge to his expression made me believe he wasn't only leaving one of his men with me for my safety or the fact that I might try to run. I paused when the realization hit me. Did he believe I was involved with another man? It would make sense with the way he'd implied more than once that I was somehow unfaithful. Did he think I was that stupid? I would have to be incredibly foolish to be in a clandestine relationship, especially after what happened to me before. No offense to Adriana, she thought with her strange heart, not with her head. Annoyance bubbled to the surface. This man could sleep with whoever he wanted. My throat tightened as I imagined he'd done just that last night, and I was babysat so I didn't do the same. It was the way this life worked, I knew, but I'd only understood it from afar, not personally from a man I would soon call husband, from a man I would share a home with. Annoyance turned to bitterness and spread through my blood like poison. I would never have a husband of my own. I would always have to share him. And that truth felt so real, so raw at that moment. Tremors of resentment ached in my chest. My eyes narrowed, just like they had at the church when I'd first seen him. His gaze imitated mine. I had no desire to inform him there was no other man. It didn't matter if there was anyway. My heart would never be his. It was the one thing in my life that was mine, and I would never sign it over. The entire ride to the dress shop, Nonna and Adriana watched me with blank, non-blinking expressions. Benito stayed silent in the driver's seat, and Mama talked, over-animated and nervously, about the wedding. Where most girls dreamed about their wedding and how perfect it would be, I viewed it behind a murky film, as if the dress in the store's window was behind a finger-smudged pane of glass. My wedding wouldn't be based on love, but a mere transfer of power from my papa to my husband. Although, as my heels clicked on the pavement, and my breath went shallow with each step, something danced under my skin, vibrated in my veins, excitement, yearning, with a sad flame of hope flickering beyond. The glass was crystal clear, a gorgeous white dress showcased behind it. I didn't love the man I would marry, couldn't. Placing my finger to the glass, I left one smudge against the false hope this window gave. My mama held the door open, her eyes narrowing as she examined me. One day with the Russo and I think my daughter's gone stupida. With your jeans? Nona muttered, walking inside. What else did you expect? I shut the door with a quiet click behind me. Awareness brushed my skin from my head to my toes as Nico flicked a gaze my way from his seat at the island. His elbows rested on the counter, his gun taken apart in front of him. The way he cleaned the piece in his hand was thoughtful, as if he had a lot on his mind. Or maybe he was just meticulous about his gun. Did you find a dress? His tone was light, not tainted with the anger I'd expected. The tension in my shoulders eased. My frustration had faded with the hours of the day, but with the way we'd left things earlier, I didn't know what to expect when I returned. I leaned against the door, feeling the toll of the day all at once. When I thought of my dress, a smile came to my lips. The perfect one. Perfect, huh? He drawled. Uh-huh. And then, because this conversation seemed too stuffy and formal, I said, it was very expensive. It rewarded me with the tiniest smile. Of course it was. It wasn't as if its price had any bearing on my decision. When I saw it, I knew it was the one. Love at first sight with a dress. I had reservations about our marriage, but today I realized the wedding would be my only one. I wasn't going to throw it away because the union might not be the love story of the century. We'd found four pink bridesmaid dresses instead of the yellow ones Mama had chosen for Adriana. And considering my sister's bridesmaids were made up of me and three of our closest cousins, I didn't have to make any changes to the wedding party. Maybe that should have been depressing, but to me, it just seemed convenient. I kicked off my heels. Mama cried. Did she? I guess sobbed is more accurate, I sighed, remembering the scene. Shame I had to miss it. This conversation was easy, relaxed, though I couldn't help but notice his movements were slightly tense. I chewed my lip, padding into the kitchen. I grabbed a glass from the cupboard and filled it from the faucet, as if I did normal things around this man all the time and didn't care about his presence. In reality, my spine tingled with a violent awareness. While trying to think of something to say, my attention caught on the new appliance on the counter. Something heavy sank in my chest. You got a coffee maker? Can't have you turning into anything non-human. That was thoughtful of him. And I hated it, because I couldn't remember the last time someone had thought of what I needed before I had to ask for it. I swallowed the lump in my throat.